All right. Well, I've with an introductory song or songs, I'm now joined by Nicole Overall.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank
you, Gav, and morning, everyone, and what a great introduction. Thank you very much.
The two songs, in case those that don't know, were a little bit of Go For Me Baby by Full House Blues Band, which is a German band that I've just come across in the last couple of months or so. Thanks to YouTube, of course. And the second song is Nicole's theme song.
That's right, Don't Back Down.
Yes.
But I think it could be a campaign slogan for the first one, Gav. Go For Me Baby. It's a little bit better than Vote One.
yes, indeed. All right, so we've had a bit of a chat couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks or so ago, about what it's been like for you for since you've been elected, and what it was like going through the process of actually thinking about electing or getting elected or going for it. You want to just go over some of that again? Like, what do you think you've achieved in the time that you've been in?
Yeah, well, as I have said a number of times now, including when we've had the opportunity to chat out here at Braidwood, it's certainly been a whirlwind of not just the last year, but really a year and a half since I was first pre-selected, since I first put myself forward. And then, of course, going through an election campaign just over 12 months ago, 12 months of getting my feet under the desk and being appointed to 5 parliamentary committees and made chair of 2, knowing what's been going on in the electorate and making sure delivering in that space as well, and then gearing up for another election all in 12 months has been hectic, to say the least. But I actually believe that I have achieved even more than I set out to achieve. That was in such a short period of time. And the wonderful thing being out in the community is that people acknowledge how much I've been out and around, and not just knowing what the issues are, Gav, but that's kind of the easy bit, talking with people and finding out what's going on. But it's actually the delivering of solutions and coming up with the things that we need and being able to provide, whether it's services or infrastructure or additional funding, making sure that that's happening and getting solutions. And I'm really proud of what I have been able to do in 12 months and look forward to hopefully a full term to be able to really get on with things and develop and deliver a vision, an ongoing vision for our region.
Right, okay. And we'll talk a little bit more about that vision the next time when you come in a couple
lovely.
Of weeks' time.
Great.
So some of the things, what's some of the highlights, like I'm looking at now, funding for the Braidwood CWA, what was that all about?
Yeah, that was a terrific one that I was able to announce with Minister for Regional Health, Minister for Women and Minister for Mental Health, Bronnie Taylor, in the last couple of weeks. And that is an initiative that we're rolling out across the state, but we've kicked off here in Braidwood, partnering with our wonderful CWA of New South Wales. We're providing $400,000 in funding for an initial 5 CWA branches to be able to open up their rooms and their halls as co-working spaces for our communities. So this money is going to be invested in technology, the addition of new technology that they're able to use, high-speed internet, extra amenities that they can employ to be able to have the rooms available to more of the community members. A lot more people are working from home these days, so having that opportunity to potentially go in and work from these spaces, to be able to meet up, whether it's community get-togethers, whether it's work get-togethers, and Braidwood is the first that's part of this pilot program. So it was really exciting to be there with the CWA members to be able to kick it off and see this happening. And I know it's going to be a huge success, you know, the fantastic work that the CWA do. So initially those 5 CWA branches, and then be able to expand it further around the state.
Right, okay. Because I know that quite often the rooms are underutilised in terms of what they can do, could be doing with them. So it's certainly an opportunity for if they can expand the the use, they can get more people in, hopefully increase the membership as well.
That's right, and continue the invaluable work that they do in our regional and rural communities and have been doing for 100 years now. So it is a wonderful initiative put forward by the CWA to be able to do exactly that, to expand their offerings within our communities, to encourage not just greater membership but more involvement with our CWA, that we do have these wonderful facilities available to us. I mean, and our wonderful historic CWA rooms here in Braidwood, and it was wonderful to go and have some very nice scones, let me tell you. Can't go without scones and tea in fine china.
No.
But to see this to be opened up further to the community and have that available and providing the services that they need through this funding to make that availability and enhance that availability is really tremendous to see.
Well, that's good. So we've got a big event happening today.
We do.
Skate park.
Yes. It's something that we know, don't we, Gav, that the community have been working towards for a very long time now. So wonderful to be here for the markets this morning, of course, but also for the official opening of the Braidwood Skate Park. Yes, I'm heading down there and helping with the opening of all of that because, of course, and I'm not going to claim any glory for that one. The work was done well before I was elected last February, but, of course, the $680,000, which was the joint funding from both the former Federal Coalition government and the New South Wales government to see it brought to fruition, working with council and, of course, the community members who have been so involved for so long and so passionate about it. So.
Right.
You know, absolutely top-notch facility that's, again, not just for our younger community members, but I hope that they're really going to enjoy and appreciate it as well, but other community members giving us even more to do in that recreational space for Braidwood. So it's another tremendous initiative and outcome.
Sure. Yeah, and we're going to be down there doing an outdoor broadcast as well.
Excellent. Oh, great. So, we'll see you there.
That's sort of only just been organised in the last day or so. And
terrific.
Gordon will be in a bit later on for a bit more of a chat about it because we're just sort of like finalising the details there. We've got some extra money for the pool. What's that all on the table? So I'm talking about swimming pool there, just to be precise.
Yeah, so some really, really exciting news that I am literally just downloading for you now because it's just a couple of these announcements that have just been made in terms of grants funding, and that is that I haven't even gone and made them public. This is the first opportunity to talk about them publicly. The pool is one of them, so in addition to the $1 million worth of government grants that it had previously received for the additional work around the kiosk, and I understand that the tiling's just recently been completed by council. I've spoken with the Braidwood Swimming Club about the need for extra funding for a few things that are going on. So there's almost $120,000 for accessible ramps, paths and additional parking.
Right.
So we can confirm that funding has now been received and council's going to be able to progress with that extra work for the pool.
Right.
So that's really terrific, all of these extra bits and pieces that we need to be able to finish it off and bring it up to the standard that the community wants and deserves.
Yeah, more of a current current needs or current expectations too, I suppose, is more the thing, isn't it? Because
that's right.
Have different, what might have been okay some years ago, people seem to, want to have greater expectations these days of what they want with their facilities, don't they?
Yeah, well when it's such an integral part of the community and a community like Braidwood, and of course there has been a lot of concern and anxiety about council talking about closing pools and services as part of the proposed special rate variation. So that's why, as you know, from the New South Wales government perspective, we're continuing to do everything we can to help councils and back and support them. And that's what this sort of funding is about, to make sure that we're providing the services the community needs, not talking about taking them away.
Yeah, sure. All right. We've got some work coming up on O'Allen Road. So what's the story there?
Yes, that's another recent grant announcement as well. Just under $3 million as part of the fixing local roads program, again, that we've delivered millions just for Monero. As part of all of that, we know the state of our roads and the continuing need to be able to bring them up to a standard that is both safe and expected. So this is an additional almost $3 million for O'Allen Road to finish off a lot of the work that's been happening around Nerriga Road as well. And I also understand that Council is about to progress with the much called for work on the Bindi Brook Creek low-level crossing there. So the designs have been approved, I understand, going out to tender, so they'll be able to get on with that critical work as well. But the O'Allen Road, that's much-needed funding, which will help further in that area of this wonderful electorate. And on top of, you know, the $50 million that we announced around the state, which I think $1.5 million of that has gone to both Snowy Monero and Queanbeyan Palaran councils, which was the emergency pothole repair. And then both of the councils have received another almost $8 million between them for road repair and betterment. And that's on top of all of these other funding announcements that we're making as well, and on top of council's annual budgets when it comes to roads. So we're investing a great deal in our road networks and making sure that we're trying to get on top of that maintenance and the deterioration that we're seeing, and then looking for the betterment of the road network as well. So lots happening in that space.
Sure. All right. Well, that takes us on to one of the next things we're going to talk about, regional seniors travel card.
Yeah, how exciting is that? Now, I'm not going to ask you if you've got yours, Gav, because, of course, you're far too young for that. But this is one of those many cost of living measures that we as the government have introduced to be able to help people's back pockets, really. So there's more than 70 different grants and rebates and vouchers and opportunities to make those savings. And if people haven't yet had the opportunity, I encourage them to go on to the Service New South Wales website. If they have any difficulties, they can reach out to my office at any time, and my guys in my office will give them a hand with it as well. But one of the most popular has been the Regional Seniors Travel Card, and it's $250 that people can use towards their transport costs. So whether that's fuel, public transport, taxis, we've had it over the last 3 years. And I think last year, just off the top of my head, I think we had something like 8,000 odd seniors take advantage of that travel card just for Monero. So we've now opened round four. So people, even if you've had it in previous years, you can apply for it again and get another $250 off. So encouraging everyone to be able to do that if you're eligible. Obviously, there's criteria around all of that. But we also just this week announced applications opening for apprentices and university students for a $250 travel card for them also.
Right.
That, again, they can use for fuel, transport costs, whether it's going to work, whether it's going to do their study. And the applications for that are open now. So for those who are in that category, encourage them to get on board to Service New South Wales and take a look at that as well. Yeah. So there's just two of those measures.
Right. And also there's the kids safe thing as well.
The Active Kids Voucher.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we've got Active Kids Vouchers. We've also had the $150 Back to School Voucher, and that's actually been extended. That was really successful also. But because some parents and families weren't able to utilise it completely before January 31st, it's now been extended, and the criteria as well, that they can use it towards school excursions, other things that are going on in the school environment. So again, if parents and families haven't yet taken up that offer, there's still the opportunity to use that. So it's called Savings Finder on the Service New South Wales website, and you can just enter the details and it brings up the various vouchers and rebates, etc., that are valid to you and your circumstances. And it can be as much as, you know, $1,500, $2,000 in savings when you combine the various packages and what's available.
Yeah, sure. All right, and we've got a few things happening with Bungendore High School.
Yes.
Created a few bits of angst around the place with some people that feel that it should be being built somewhere else.
Yes, it has certainly been one of those things.
I mean, still in Bungendore, but should be built in another part of Bungendore rather than where it is.
Yes, and it's been, when you ask about what's been achieved in the year that I've been in Parliament, this is certainly one of those that I put up there as an achievement. So, you know, it was the position that I articulated both before I was elected and have subsequently maintained throughout the time. And again, I reiterate the point that this is not about what Nicole Overall wants. This is about what the community had clearly expressed over a time frame of more than 2 years just of the process, but more than 20 years of saying that they needed this facility for Bungendore, which is such a growing, thriving town that we're now seeing develop even further. And the truth of the matter is the selected site was considered the most suitable in the circumstances of 11 sites that were analysed.
Right.
And all of those other sites were declined because of various reasons, environmental, flooding issues, bushfire concerns, too close to waste areas, odours, etc., private developments. So the site that was selected in Majara Street fulfilled 14 of the 15 requirements of the Department of Education to be able to progress a school. So in the end, this $71 million investment in Bungendore, it was essentially this site or potentially not at all.
Right.
So that's a lot of what gets mistaken, taken out of context, misinformation that circulated about that and about the process that has gone on in that time. And again, in the last year and a half, really been out there speaking with the community about what they wanted, what they saw as needed, how it was going to work. And I can tell you that, yes, while there is a vocal minority who remain against the project, the vast bulk of the community out there want to see it happen. The approval has now occurred, both through the Minister for Planning and the Minister for the Environment. And again, there's questions about, you know, the Minister for Crown Lands. He was also aware of the process and knowing what was going on. All the processes and the boxes that needed to be ticked have occurred. The approval has now come through. Construction is going to essentially commence in the next little while. They're closing Majara Street now as part of the traffic studies and how that remodelling is going to go. And I can tell you that I receive message after message and calls and emails and people stopping me in the street saying, could you please just get on with it? So the delay certainly isn't from my perspective or the New South Wales government's perspective. There are, again, those issues that continued to be raised by the minority that had to be addressed. They have been addressed, and now we're moving forward.
Right. Oh, that's good. All right, and we've got some science labs happening as well for a couple of schools that you've been involved with.
Yeah, so that's Bungendore as well. So both the Bungendore and Jerobombra High School, so the brand new high schools, currently in the temporary facilities, which are outstanding as well. So I had the Minister for Education, Sarah Mitchell, down, and we had a tour of those just when the schools opened. I'll tell you what, for temporary, and I'm using, you know, that in inverted commas, facilities, they are incredible. There's no way that you would actually walk into it and think that it was anything but a permanent build. They're so good. But it was articulated to me by both the PNCs of Jerobombra and Bungendore and the principals themselves that while one science lab was provided as part of the standard design, so that's not just for our high schools, that's across the state when we're doing these new builds. Both of these schools, because of the curricula that they want to offer, really needed the addition of a second science lab in both instances. Now, we thought that perhaps the design process had gone, you know, too far, that we wouldn't be able to provide that, but I did go to the head of Department of Education Infrastructure directly and had a chat with him about the design. I went to Minister for Education Sarah Mitchell to say, look, this is a really critical need for these high schools, and I'm really pleased to be able to say that both of them are now receiving two science labs plus a general learning space as well that essentially has the opportunity to work as an additional science lab if it needs and be able to be developed into one as future demand dictates. Right. So another success story in the education infrastructure that we're providing.
Right. All right, and coming back to here again, something about the shared paths for Waller Street. You want to elaborate on that?
Yes, another just announcement that I haven't even made publicly, giving you the scoop again this morning, Gav. So shared paths for Wallace Street, an additional investment through grant funding of more than $208,000. So we're going to be able to see council getting on with that work as well, having, you know, we know now with the walkways, with cycleways, people cycling more, being able to get out and about, we need to make it safe and accessible. So it's another more than $208,000 that we've injected to see that happen as well. So that's for Wallace Street.
Right. So which part of Wallace Street is that?
I don't know. I haven't even seen the design myself from council. Like, it's literally the funding announcement has hot off the press.
Right.
So I haven't seen where it is or what council has put forward in terms of the design itself. I'm literally just able to say that they have been successful in securing the grant funding to have it happen. So I'll check that out and be issuing a proper media release on all of that. But I just thought I'd give you the heads up here this morning that it's definitely happening.
Right. Well, that's good, because certainly the footpaths that are that have been installed along Wilson Street between the hospital and the main street have certainly made it a lot easier for a lot of people to to come along, you know, both from if they're at the hospital or if they're at Summerfield.
Great.
You know, they're certainly being used.
That's really good to hear. And that's what it's all about, making, you know, all of the town accessible and easier and safer to get around, walking or cycling, the pedestrians. So that's really, really pleasing to hear that. And this is another aspect of that.
Yeah, sure. Mm. All right. So it's probably not quite necessarily applicable to us, but we've got you've got some additional weekly bus services happening in Queanbeyan, which I guess is useful if people want to go on, because they've got that parking thing where you can go and park and ride.
That's right, park and ride. So that was another thing that we introduced. And yes, I had Deputy Premier Paul Toole down, and not just a few extra routes, but 90 additional services for the greater Queanbeyan area. So Queanbeyan, Googong, Jerrabombra. We've now expanded it so that Googong and Jerrabombra alone, from 5:30 in the morning, I think it is, till about 10 o'clock at night, have bus services every hour. And on top of that, they've actually gone and reviewed the routes, so those routes into Canberra, out to the airport, etc., and streamlined them, so they've saved time on them as well. So as much as if you're going from Queanbeyan into Canberra, for example, saved as much as 30 to 40 minutes on a bus trip. So really streamlining the services, offering more services. And I can tell you, just walking past the bus shelters and seeing a lot of older people as well, it's like our younger ones going to school, etc., but our older people saying just how helpful they found it and how beneficial it is. Yeah. So really pleased to have seen that occur too.
Also, there's additional services to Bungaroo as well.
That's
too.
Right. There so, is.
Because there was a... I can't remember what time. I think I used to see them when I was coming back after I dropped the mail off. but there seems to be a later bus service than that now too. So I'm not sure what time they do the last run, but it's definitely later than it used to be. So there's obviously extra services going to Bungaroo.
Yeah, so it's definitely that. It's like, I'm not sure of the last one to Bungaroo either, but there's definitely extra services and more times. Mm-hmm. And they did that in conjunction and consultation with the community to say, what's required, what do we need? And that's clearly what was articulated, that we need more of them and more times that are available on that bus schedule. So we've certainly listened and been able to provide that as well. So really happy to see that happen, and such a success that it's been.
Yeah. And that park and ride thing, that's just by the QE2 park, isn't
that's
it?
Right, yes, yeah. Literally just across the road there. Yeah. So again, a facility that's really been taken up and an initiative that people have been very happy to see happen.
So, folks, if you can drive to Queanbeyan and park and ride and zip around on the bus.
That's right. Catch the bus. It's like if you need to go into Canberra or out to the airport, or it's a great way to be able to do it. And, you know, it's who doesn't enjoy a nice bus ride, and quite relaxing, really, when somebody else has to do all of the navigating and exactly driving for you.
Yeah, that's what you're your chief assistant's doing for you most of the time.
He is, and he's down there holding the fort at the Braidwood Markets this morning, and driving me all over the electorate, including Canberra. Occasionally, we did venture over the border the other day, but yes, he's doing a very fine job, and as my campaign director also.
Right. So how's he going with that?
He's going extremely well. As he says, I think we've got our 26th wedding anniversary coming up in the next week or so. And he said to me that in 26 years of marriage, it's the first time I've had to do what he tells me.
Right.
So he's doing very well.
Yeah, for sure.
Keeping me on the straight and narrow. So right. It's lovely. It's lovely to be able to do it together, and people know that... you know, we were there as the team, and I ran his campaigns over his 17 years as local government, so it's lovely. You can't do this sort of job on your own. There's just too much to it and too much involved. You have to have that support and backing. So to know that I've got him there, and our two sons, who, of course, are completely behind me in doing it all, and will be there on election day handing out for me. And so it's a family affair. It's always been a family affair, and that's the way it'll remain. That's why I'm doing it, because they said, you know, Mum, wife, this is, you know, your calling, and you need to get on with this. So it's lovely to have that.
Yeah, sure. Mm. All right. Okay. We'll meet to the close at this point.
Lovely.
We'll have you back again 9th, isn't it, I think, from memory?
Terrific. Can't wait.
9th of March, Thursday morning. And you're going to go out with the song you've chosen.
So I've chosen this one.
Yeah.
This is my choice, Nicole Overall's choice for the morning.
Yeah, I mean, you want to tell people what it is?
Wild Thing.
By the Trogs. All right, thanks for coming in, Nicole.
Thanks, Gav.
And we'll catch you then.